story of the baptism of Jesus given to us at least somewhat in all four Gospels. It varies quite a bit, actually, from Gospel to Gospel. Here in Mark, it's told straightforward. We get an introduction to who John the Baptizer is. We get Jesus coming and getting baptized and the descent of the dove and the voice of God from heaven with this affirmation being the focus of the passage. In Matthew's Gospel, we have a conversation between Jesus and John the Baptizer, taking up much of the narrative. And in fact, John the Baptizer protests. He says, "You should be baptizing me, not me, you." And that seems to be more of the focus of Matthew's story. The words of God here, "This is my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased," seems to be almost like an afterthought. In Luke, we find the account of the baptism being pushed back slightly. We don't actually get to see the baptism in the narrative. It doesn't reference Jesus coming out of the water. It just simply says that after he had been baptized, the Holy Spirit's affirmation is again front and center. In John, we find the greatest divergence of all. For if you read the reference closely in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 37, and I want you to go home and I want you to read that. If you read it closely, you'll notice that the Gospel of John doesn't depict Jesus' baptism at all. It doesn't. Not a bit. Jesus isn't depicted as being baptized by John in John. John the Baptist makes an affirmation of who Jesus is, pointing to Jesus and affirming that he saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, but he doesn't hear those words. And he affirms Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We don't get those words of God speaking from on high saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." These words found in the three synoptic Gospels spoken by God from heaven about Jesus are spoken to us too. "You are my child. You are my chosen one. You are my beloved. You are my cherished one. With you I am well pleased, satisfied, contented, happy." God's words here point to Jesus. Focus attention upon Jesus. Call us to recognize in Jesus God's choosing, God's anointing, and God's presence. In Mark, we don't have a story of the birth. Unlike Matthew and Luke, which both spend quite a lot of time on Jesus' birth, and Luke a lot of time on the stuff before and surrounding Jesus' incarnation and birth. In Mark, we have none of that. The opening narrative of the gospel begins with the baptism of Jesus, with the launch of his public ministry, with the divine affirmation that was foreshadowed in the announcements of his incarnation and birth over in Matthew and Luke. Here in Mark, we have God, God's self, saying, "This is my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And very interestingly, unlike Matthew, where it reads, "In whom I am well pleased," the phrase here is to Jesus. "In you, Jesus, I am well pleased." It's to Jesus, for Jesus, as a confirmation by God to Jesus. Not for others to hear, for Jesus to hear. We're listening in. We're participating with Christ. We get to hear it, we get to experience it, but it's to and for Jesus. This powerful affirmation of God that will be echoed on the Mount of Transfiguration sometime later for Peter, James, and John to hear. Some have likened to Jesus' ordination. Jesus is being set apart for his ministry as the Messiah. From this point on, he gathers his disciples. He travels the dusty streets of Judea and Galilee. He teaches and preaches. He heals the sick and delivers people from demons and feeds the hungry and gives hope to a people who have been downtrodden through the Roman occupation and through the abuse of religious leaders. His baptism and these words from God initiate Jesus' ministry. You are my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. These words are also said to us, to each of us, in our baptisms, in our own selection, when God says to each of us, I want you. I am pleased with you. I call you. I name you. I will be present with and within you. Jesus says this to us, the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized. Even with all our problems, even with all our tendencies to fail, even with all our bad habits and foibles, despite all of them, God is still saying to you and to me and to us, you are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. These words are important for each of us to hear. So much of Christianity is focused upon beating on people, calling out sin and calling us to do better, and I'm the first to admit that I don't do as well as I should. That's true. But these words begin our journey as well. These words start us out. They launch us into a new year as the church. They launch us into new life as believers, as members of the family of faith, as Christians. They call us. They woo us. They draw us. With all of God's grace, when we hear these words of inclusion, these words of affirmation, these words of acceptance, you are my beloved child. In you, with you, I am well pleased. Before we do anything, before we change anything, before any and everything else, God chooses us, loves us, gathers us in, calls us, enables us, empowers us, lives in and through us by amazing grace. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. If you take nothing with you today, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. You are God's child. You are God's beloved one. Without exception, without limitation, God loves you. And grants to you, gives to you, pours out into you. In your life and in your baptism and in your affirmation of faith, God is with you and pours out to you God's pleasure, God's love, God's acceptance and affirmation, God's amazing grace. Today, when we remember our baptisms, when we reaffirm our baptisms, I want you to remember that. God's love for you knows no limit, knows no end, began with the beginning, in the beginning, and continues for all eternity. And in our baptisms, we hear God say, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." In the name of the Father and of the Son.
Let me dwell in your